On the night Champions League football returned, one of its true stars delivered with a late, late winner.
Mbappe is taking on Lucas Vazquez into the penalty area away, and in, and scores! And the breakthrough goal comes in the last minute of the four added on, and it comes from Kylian Mbappe!
We'll review the Mbappe and Messi drama in the French capital, as well as a majestic Manchester City win in Lisbon. With Inter, Liverpool and Salzburg Bayern in store too, we'll also look ahead to Wednesday's action right here on Matchday Live. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and with me to reflect on tonight's two round of 16 first legs are commentators Phil Blacker and Dan Roebuck. Gents, hello Phil, let's start with you. Kylian Mbappe delivering, the narrative god shining on that game at the Parc des Princes.
Absolutely, left it late, didn't he? But Paris's pressure and persistence and patience paid off, and who else really but Mbappe? I think the way the game went, if anyone was going to score that goal, then it was Kylian Mbappe for his performance. Something about these big players, isn't there? They have that sense of occasion that when the occasion really demands it, they're able to come up with something very special. And in a game where Real Madrid defended brilliantly for over 93 minutes, even saved a penalty, Courtois keeping out Messi, it's still Mbappe that hogs the headlines at the end.
As for the action in Lisbon, a masterclass from Manchester City. Milestones reached and records broken. City far too strong for a Sporting side that had no answer to Manchester City in the first half. The first time that they scored four goals in a first half of the UEFA Champions League. 200 goals now in the UEFA Champions League for Manchester City. A double for Bernardo Silva. Goals for Mahrez, Foden and Raheem Sterling. His 150th club career goal, incidentally, and the pick of the night, one that just flew into the top corner with real power and pace from the England international. Sporting barely had an opportunity. They didn't trouble Edison at all, and Manchester City pretty much through to the next round of the UEFA Champions League.
Okay, we'll review that game in depth very shortly. Also with us tonight is European football expert Chris Parrott. And Chris, two big teams in this competition delivering in very different ways.
Yeah, Manchester City playing the way they have all season long, and you know that is a real marker to lay down against a very exciting Sporting team. Utterly ruthless from Pep Guardiola's team, and that word ruthless, I think you can attribute to Kylian Mbappe. We all know about the contract. Where will he play his football next season? I think tonight Paris Saint-Germain fans might just forget about that for a moment and just, you know, he is such a thrilling footballer. You saw the passion when he scored. He was the player throughout the 95 minutes, the one player who you thought could make the breakthrough, and the goal was exceptional. We'll talk about it more shortly, but he's definitely one to watch. It's a proper Champions League classic strike, and it gives Paris a narrow but very important advantage ahead of the second leg.
Mbappe confirmed as the player of the match. No surprise, because he was the hero. Reminder of how things unfolded in the opening night of the round of 16 first legs as the competition returns after its two-month break. Paris Saint-Germain 1, Real Madrid 0, Sporting 0, Manchester City 5. Well, let's start with the drama at the Parc des Princes as Paris Saint-Germain took on Real Madrid.
Inside the penalty area, taking on Carvajal. Did he leave his leg in there? He did, according to the referee. Daniele Alcázar was pointed to the penalty spot. Mbappe going down under Carvajal's challenge, and penalty given at the Parc des Princes an hour in. Massive moment, and Messi steps up against Thibaut Courtois. Lionel Messi, saved by Courtois, who makes a huge stop to his left. Big save. Courtois keeps it out. Messi can barely believe it. Mbappe is taking on Lucas Vazquez into the penalty area away. And in, and scores! And the breakthrough goal comes in the last minute of the four added on. And it comes from Kylian Mbappe. There's the moment of magic they've waited so long for. Finally, the Real Madrid resistance is broken. Mbappe's done it again. It's another late, late show at the Parc des Princes. And surely, they'll have a lead to take to Spain for the second leg. Paris 1, Madrid 0.
So Mbappe did the business, as it seemed almost inevitable, much like he did the other night against Rennes in Ligue 1 with that goal in the third minute of added time to win the game 1-0. This time it was the fourth minute of added time against Real Madrid. And of course, it's only the halfway point in the tie, and the players celebrated in that kind of manner. But a huge win for them against Real Madrid and what was turning into a frustrating night. You heard Phil Days with me and Chris now. Phil, let's start, how about then, with the Real Madrid game plan. Because we know Real Madrid is, you know, 13-time champions, some of the best players in the world. But it was a pretty conservative mindset that they seemed to go into this game in.
It was, which the extent of surprised me a little bit. And it paid an awful lot of respect to Paris Saint-Germain. But the longer the game went on, you could certainly see why they were taking that approach. Something of a role reversal to what we're often used to seeing in the Liga, where they're up against teams that get everybody back behind the ball, and they found it difficult, a case in point, against Villarreal in the goalless draw at the weekend. So they've seen it work against them, and they decided, I think, that the best opportunity to stay in the tie, and that appeared to be their approach. They knew they couldn't win the tie in the first leg, so they wanted to stay in it and provide them with a platform in 3 weeks at home at the Bernabeu. And it was effective for so long. I think part of it was the intensity with which Paris started, and they weren't quite able to maintain that, and Real Madrid did get a bit more of a foothold in the game and probably felt a little bit more comfortable towards the end of the first half. But they really did have to dig in at the start. I'm not sure if that was necessarily entirely part of the game plan to that extreme, but it was certainly the way that they were set up, and you could see how well organised they were with everybody back behind the ball. And they were, what, 30 seconds away from a complete away performance in terms of what they came for. Mm. And that's the frustration.
Well, I suppose with no away goals rule anymore, as of this season, 0-0 wouldn't have been a bad result for Real Madrid, Chris. They would have been quite happy, I think, going back to the Bernabeu with that.
No, there was a stat after the first 45 minutes. It was the first time since 2014 in the Champions League they hadn't had a shot in the first half. Well, they didn't have a shot on target in the whole game. They only had 3 efforts off target as well, of which at least one was from 30 metres out and was, you know, never going to trouble Gianluigi Donnarumma. So, I mean, I wonder partly whether it was Paris and their star-studded team, whether partly it was the match sharpness of Karim Benzema, who had been out.
Yeah, talk about that, Chris, because obviously he'd missed 3 games with a muscle injury, and then came back.
With a hamstring injury, and he's in his mid-30s, that's not the sort of thing you want to mess around. He did play. He did the job that he was asked to do perfectly well, but he wasn't that normal, bullish Benzema, I don't think. And Paris Saint-Germain were able to repel any threat that Real Madrid thought about.
Do you think any other striker would have made a difference? I mean, playing Jovic in there or Bale or something?
Probably not. Probably not the way that they set up. But I think this is why it's so tough, right? One moment of genius from Mbappe is the difference between Carlo Ancelotti thinking that worked an absolute treat, didn't it? To, right, we're behind in this tie now. We mentioned it in commentary, but very interested to see how Real Madrid play in the second leg at home. And the other big disappointment for them tonight, a yellow card for Casemiro, a yellow card for Ferland Mendy. Both those key players will be missing due to suspension at the Bernabeu.
I mean, I think it will have to now be a very different Real Madrid performance because of the late concession, and they have to score a goal. I think it would have been a very different type of Real Madrid performance anyway. I think this was always part of their plan to keep it tight away and then try and win the game in front of their own supporters. And we'll definitely see a very different Benzema, potentially in terms of how fit he is, because he will hopefully have had 3 more games. Mm. Real Madrid will hope that, you know, he will improve that sharpness in those 3 games, but also his role will be very different, because so much was made before the match, and Carlo Ancelotti was one of the first to admit that if he's fit, then he plays, because he's that important in the way that the team play. And I think we've seen this season Vinicius Junior is much more of a threat when Benzema is in the side alongside him, but he didn't play in that same role. He was asked to do a very different job today, and it's not to say he didn't do the job well, because he certainly played his part. He put a real shift in. We saw him come very deep. He offered an out ball where he could, although it was a lot further away from goal than we normally see him. So surely that will be a very different scenario in the second leg. Sharper Benzema playing the position that he's more used to will give Paris Saint-Germain an awful lot more to think about defensively than they had to deal with in this first leg.
OK, let's break down the 3 major moments, arguably in the final half now, involving the famous 3 of Paris Saint-Germain now. Starting with the penalty miss, Chris, and you got a sense, based on the way that Dani Carvajal was struggling to deal with him back, yeah, that something like that foul for the penalty was inevitable.
Yeah, he had a moment in the first half when Mbappe went through on goal and Courtois made a save. Courtois had a very good night. You feel sorry for him. He didn't deserve to be on the losing side, but it was a clumsy challenge from Carvajal. Messi, I mean, they had plenty of options to take the penalty. Leo Messi assumed responsibility. Very good save from Courtois down to his left-hand side.
By the way, a lot's been made of the fact, you know, he misses a lot of penalties. Yeah. Or we seem to remember his stats are average.
Yes.
For penalty conversion, but that seems unusual because you think he'd just score every single
because
one.
Because it's Messi.
Yeah.
Because he scores most free kicks he takes from a lot further out. But actually Courtois, that was Courtois' third very good save because Mbappe had almost scored out of nothing prior to that penalty. And at that moment, Phil, what you thought, this is going to be another night where Paris play well for large parts in a big Champions League game, but don't quite get over the line.
It really looked that way, didn't it? Which I think is why the late goal is so significant psychologically, because when you look at it, they've won 1-0, and this tie is very much in the balance. You know, this isn't the worst result in the world by any stretch of the imagination for Real Madrid, particularly with no away goals. If they win by one goal, then they go to extra time in the second leg.
At home.
You know, they would back themselves to do that against virtually anybody. But I just think it's the circumstance in which it arrived so late with just seconds to play after they pressed and pressed and pressed and looked like they weren't going to get the goal. Just the moment when Mbappe scored and the jubilation and to a degree relief around the Parc des Princes amongst the supporters. They will take that into the second leg, and that psychologically, I think, makes so much more of a difference than scoring a solitary goal in a two-legged tie.
And they've had a lot of heartache in the Champions League, Paris, and you felt like it. Almost the fans might leave and think, another night where we were the better team, probably it didn't quite happen, we missed the penalty, we signed Messi, he missed the penalty, all of that builds up and then Mbappe comes to the rescue. And the one other player, we mentioned Benzema perhaps being sharper, Real Madrid will hope. Well, Neymar came on for his first appearance since late November and he made a difference. He had one driving run to the edge of the box and won a free kick. It was his very clever back heel that found Mbappe in space that led to the winner. And, you know, his return is a huge boost. And certainly reading between the lines in some of the French press and listening to some Paris Saint-Germain supporters, you felt that if this game was 2 weeks ago, Neymar might have been fit for it as well. I think they're 13 points clear at the top. They didn't need Neymar to be back apart from the Champions
League. It's not unthinkable he doesn't feature at all at the weekend, is he?
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
Get him primed and ready for the second leg, because we saw in a very brief spell he was on the pitch, he, against the team who was sitting back, he gave Paris Saint-Germain something else, and it in part led to a brilliant solo goal.
Let's hear from Real Madrid's goalkeeper, who made 9 saves on the night, including the penalty, Thibaut Courtois.
Yeah, just a bit annoying, you know, like I think we lost the ball in midfield, then he goes away easy from two players. And then obviously you have to close the angle, so I went down as fast as I could to block the far hand side, because there what he likes to shoot is on the left side, but the ball went just in the right space under my body, so that's a bit hard to take after such a game, but it's still nothing lost, 1-0. It just still means we just have to win at home. Even with a draw, it meant we had to win at home.
Yeah.
Now it just have to happen between 90 minutes, you know.
Yeah, Thibaut Courtois breaking down the goal for Kylian Mbappe in the fourth minute of added time. It's funny, I know we've already talked about the away goals rule thing, but it does. I still don't quite know how to frame this result in my head, because, you know, if it had been last season, it would have been, what a result for Paris Saint-Germain. No away goal conceded. But now with this, it really feels like it's just half-time. And I know you were talking about the psychological effects, Phil, but it's 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
3 weeks break for Real Madrid until the tie, and they can regroup. They're comfortably top of Spain's Liga and try and get some wins on the board.
I certainly think from Real Madrid's perspective, they will digest the disappointment and they will move on, and they will look at it like that, and understandably so, because they've still got every chance of going through. I think what the goal does do is so much more positive for Paris Saint-Germain than it negatively affects Real Madrid, if you see what I mean.
Sure, yeah.
Because from Real Madrid's point of view,
it's more what they can take with them to Madrid now.
Madrid, it doesn't change too much. They, as Thibaut Courtois said, they knew that they would have to win the home leg anyway, and that is still very much the case, and they will back themselves to do that, I'm sure.
And remember, last season, and we've seen under Mauricio Pochettino, particularly in Europe, Paris away from home, if sides come onto them, are absolutely devastating. Remember, they beat Barcelona away and they beat Bayern away. And this is the dilemma now for Carlo Ancelotti, because his team have to win the game in 90 minutes to have any hopes of going through. If they decide to try and come on to Paris Saint-Germain,
the counter-attack
is devastating. And this lead and this goal, I think, gives Paris the opportunity maybe to almost play their natural game. They don't need to necessarily go out and dominate the ball again if they don't want to at the Bernabeu. So how these coaches set up in 3 weeks' time is going to be very interesting.
You can see Messi just threading a ball down one side to Neymar, round Marcelo if he's at left back, and Dani Carvajal again against Mbappe. Okay, more on this shortly. By the way, Mbappe has been involved in at least one goal in each of his last seven games in the Champions League. 5 goals, 4 assists. He's absolutely ruthless right now. The second leg is on Wednesday, the 9th of March, and of course, we'll have a commentary of that one for you. Let's go on to the other round of 16 tie from Tuesday. That saw Sporting host Manchester City. Dan Roebuck, watch this one.
Now it's with Bernardo Silva to pull it back. Found it with a shot. Terrific save. And it'll come out to Mahrez, who puts it into an unguarded net. However, the flag is up and it will not count. Well, the goal is being checked. The decision just about to come through. And Manchester City have taken the lead in Lisbon against Sporting. Manchester City have a corner. Mahrez to take. Hoisted towards the far post once again. Might fall here for Bernardo Silva! Oh, what a strike that is! Sporting standing still, and Manchester City have struck again. It's still Riyad Mahrez, just forced outside of the penalty area, and now back inside the box. Long ball in, another chance here. Foden should finish, and does, from close range. Manchester City have another, and they are running riot in the Portuguese capital this evening. Sterling's on the move here, gets in behind the Sporting backline. Sterling takes a touch, looks to try and tee up Bernardo Silva, and there's another for Manchester City. The Lions have been tamed in Lisbon. Manchester City are the big cats now. Bernardo Silva, Raheem Sterling, edge of the Sporting area, looks for the corner! Oh, that's just another sensational strike from Raheem Sterling off the back of a hat-trick in the Premier League against Norwich at the weekend. He is at it again.
They really were at it. Dan joins us now. He was on commentary for this one. Dan, that was absolutely brutal first half from City, wasn't it? And they're taking their chances so well at the moment.
City, every single thing that they do in front of goal seems to be working. There's bangers from inside the area, from outside the area. There's goals from close in. There was a header that was disallowed that was very, very close on an offside call. They score so many different types of goals. They don't play with a recognised striker. They haven't done for quite some time. But obviously, with Torres gone and Aguero, who went last summer, now it's just the players that he wants to play in the system that he wants, and they've tweaked it a little bit. They don't look as vulnerable on the counter. Sporting offered nothing, really, and you wonder what their big domestic game took out of them against Porto. Last time out, they were 2-0 up in that game. There was 5 red cards, 3-4 Sporting. They were looking to get within 3 points of Porto at the top of the table. Maybe they were caught cold, but let's face it, this Manchester City side are so good.
Well, despite the 5-0 win, City forward Bernardo Silva says his side can still improve based on this evening's display.
I honestly think in the first half we weren't that good to be winning 4-0. I think sometimes we were a bit sloppy, lost some easy balls, which gave them the opportunity to counter-attack. But we were very clinical. You need luck as well to score that many goals in not so many chances. And yeah, but very happy with the win, 5-0 away. Yeah. It's a great result. And good performance, especially some minutes in the first half and the second half. Sometimes you play better than we played this first half, and you go to the halftime with 0-0. I just think that we can still improve and we can still do better.
So they weren't very good and they were lucky, Dan.
Yeah. is that what's known as a humble brag, is it? I don't know.
I think he means it, though, don't you? I mean, you know, you were talking about Guardiola when Rodri came off and how he was chewing his ear off with instructions about things he should have done better. I mean, they're ruthless.
It's a strange one, isn't it? Pep Guardiola always wants more. His players have bought into it. He seems to have a core group. It's ridiculous. We always talk about squads and players on the bench. But this set of players, by and large, have stayed together for quite some time. He can trust them. He talked about that ahead of the game. I thought they were brilliant. I don't cover Manchester City every single week. It's always a joy to see them attack. Yes, they slow things down a little bit and the second half petered out somewhat, but Man City are a special team at the moment. There's no doubt about that.
Seen a stat, Dan, the 14th team to score 200 goals in this competition, but it's they've done it in 13 fewer matches than any other side. And you know, we think they are relative late comers to the knockout stages of the Champions League, but they reached the final last season, and this type of performance on opening night of the last 16, that they're kind of putting down a marker that they are one of the teams to beat again this campaign.
Well, I think most people would probably peg them as favourites, and this has been the case, hasn't it, for the last couple of seasons. And FC Bayern might have something to say about that. And obviously, we've been covering a game that's had Paris and Real Madrid at the top of their domestic standings, like Manchester City are, like FC Bayern are as well. Of them, you don't see the weaknesses maybe in Manchester City that you might do elsewhere. Are City reliant upon any particular player? It doesn't appear that way, does it, when you see how the goals are shared around every single weekend domestically? I guess not so much in UEFA Champions League football this season, because Morris has got 6 and he's got 10 in his last 11, and I think Bernardo Silva has got 2 now. He might be second in the scoring charts in Europe this season, but they just seem to have lots of different players contributing to what they want to do. They don't have to rely upon an Mbappe goal in the 90th minute, do they? They don't have to rely on a Messi or a Lewandowski or a Benzema or whoever. They've got that team spirit as well as some real star individuals who buy into that team ethic.
Well, let's hear from one of them, Riyad Mahrez, on the nature of their victory in Lisbon.
Champions League is never easy. The quality is higher, especially in the knockout game. So we came here very focused and we made the job. This season in Champions League, there's no the goal away goals. So, you know, it's not like before, but next game at home, when we're going to come, we're going to be the same focus and same type of game it's going to be, and we're going to be the same. Yeah, we're going to try to win again.
Dan, we spoke pretty much about how Sporting go about this game, because they can be expansive. They like to play around a press out from the back. First time in the round of 16 since 08-09, so an occasion for them, and you got that from the atmosphere of the Jersey Avalar. But where did things go wrong for Ruben Amorim's team?
I think they were suckered early on, weren't they? They set their stall out, I think, to sit deep. And Manchester City, for the opening 5 or 6 minutes, we saw Ruben Dias find Rodri and then play it back towards Stones and then Laporte, and there was no hurry up, there was no decision to change what Pep Guardiola's team wanted to do, and that just drew the Sporting players out. And then suddenly Manchester City were getting in through the centre, certainly down that left-hand side as well. I thought Sterling was so effective throughout the game. Mahrez seems to really light up in the UEFA Champions League. That's certainly been the case this season. He's not been a regular domestically. And I think Sporting just lost their way too quickly. There was a significant delay when the goal was given for the first strike, because most people thought it was offside. De Bruyne
looked at it, didn't
he? Yeah, he did
hearing,
at first
yeah.
glance, and you can see why the flag went up as De Bruyne put it back for Mahrez. And I think that Sporting were really deflated after that, and they conceded again just 10 minutes later. Terrific hit from Bernardo Silva. I still think that Sterling's goal tonight was probably better.
Yeah, yeah.
But suddenly they're 2 down against Manchester City, and they've not even been in the game. And from there on in, what on earth do you do?
What do they do in the second leg? They're in a precarious position, Sporting heading out of the UEFA Champions League after a 5-0 loss at the hands of Manchester City. The second leg, though, we'll have all the latest from that one on Wednesday, the 9th of March, on Matchday Live. Coming up next, we're going to look ahead to Wednesday's round of 16 first leg matches.
Celebrate 30 seasons of that UCL feeling by picking the ultimate moment in UEFA Champions League history. Vote now at UEFA.com/UCL feeling, and you could win tickets for the final in May and some other amazing prizes.
You're listening to Matchday Live with me, Rob Daly, Dan, Phil and Chris alongside me as well. Let's look ahead to Wednesday's action in the UEFA Champions League. We've got commentary for you with Richard Kaufman and Kevin Achard of Inter versus Liverpool at San Siro. The Reds go to San Siro for the second time this season after winning at AC Milan early in the campaign. Liverpool, with that ridiculous squad now they've signed Luis Diaz, have no major absentees. Sadio Mane returned after celebrations with Senegal after the AFCON win. Inter without Nicola Barella, he's suspended. Gosens and Correa are both out with thigh injuries. Gosens signed in the January transfer window as well. Chris, what are you thinking to this one? Liverpool, you imagine, for the tie as a whole anyway, certainly favourite to Simeone and Zaghi's side.
Yeah, and they saw a couple of clips and some pictures of a very smiley Jurgen Klopp. He feels in a good place now, and so do his team. I think they were very, very happy with the addition of Diaz, who's started so brightly as a Liverpool player. They have their Africa Cup of Nations stars back. They have young Harvey Elliott back from injury. Feels like a squad in a very happy place right now, and that is dangerous for opponents of Liverpool, I think. Manchester City well clear in the Premier League. It's not over yet, but some of Jurgen Klopp's comments have suggested that probably thinks it's unlikely they're going to win that competition. They'll carry on till the end. I think this is the one. You have a very, very good cup side over two legs. They're going to take some stopping. Inter will have to be, particularly at home, I think this is their opportunity. They surely have to go to Anfield with something.
Yeah, you imagine. Liverpool have won four in a row, by the way. They did win their group. Remember, the first English team to ever win all six of their Champions League group games. Inter finished second in that section with Real Madrid and were beaten home and away by Madrid. The other game is in Austria. Not too long a journey for Bayern, actually, is that, Chris, to Stadion Salzburg to take on the Austrian Bundesliga champions. A special occasion for Salzburg. Phil Black, you've seen a lot of Bayern this season. Yes, they were beaten by Bochum 4-2 at the weekend in a shock defeat, but what have you made of what Julian Nagelsmann's done so far?
I think they're heading in the right direction. I don't think they've clicked yet entirely under Nagelsmann, but that could be framed as a positive heading into the business part of the season, because I think there is a lot more still to come from his team. Yes, it was a shock setback at the weekend, but I'm pretty sure that result is probably the worst thing that could have happened for Salzburg, because I expect a Bayern backlash. I expect a response from them. They scored 9 goals, I think, against Salzburg in the group stage last season. They won every group game this season. Weren't really tested, and I'd be surprised if that changed at this stage.
Looking at the team news for Bayern, they were without Manuel Neuer, and he's still unavailable with a knee injury. No Alphonso Davies, no Leon Goretzka, no Jamal Musiala either for the German champions, although they'll be backing themselves, as Phil mentioned there. So we'll have coverage of that for you tomorrow. Updates with Dan O'Hagan on Matchday Live. Let's go back to Tuesday's drama in the UEFA Champions League. Paris beating Real Madrid, Manchester City with the win at Sporting. Let's hear from City's boss, Pep Guardiola.
Today we were so clinical. Every time we arrive in the first 20 minutes, we score. And in that competition, because we saw in the first five, six, seven minutes how good they are, and the difference is between both teams, believe me, is not a 0-5, but up front we were so clinical, we defend well, and like they attack with a lot of plays in front of the ball. Every time you regain the ball, you can run, and we punish them in the counter-attacks.
Thoughts of Pep Guardiola there? You know, he'll say as well, Chris, that the job isn't done, but there's no way, surely, they're not in the quarters.
It would be, even by Champions League standards, recently the greatest comeback ever if they were to make it through Sporting. And again, it's Guardiola demanding everything from his players.
OK, let's hear from the winning head coach of Paris Saint-Germain after their 1-0 victory against Real Madrid, Mauricio Pochettino.
Yes, being sure, I am very pleased. I think the performance of the team was very good. I think overall we were much better than Real Madrid, and after 90 minutes, well-deserved the victory. Yes, I think it's still another game, but important the first. The first step or the first game is with us.
Okay, let's get man of the matches then, player of the matches. We've got the official ones already. But Dan, for your one for Sporting City, who was the standout star?
Well, it has to be the Lisbon-born Bernardo Silva, 2 goals and an assist.
Yeah, and he nearly had his hat-trick, but for that disallowed goal. Phil, man of the match, it's an easy one.
I will agree with the official award, Kylian Mbappe, man for the big occasion again.
Chris, can you pick out someone else to star?
For the first 93 minutes, there was an argument it was Thibaut Courtois, okay. But then Kylian Mbappe stepped forward.
A brilliant night of action. attention in the UEFA Champions League. It's great to have it back. That's all we have time for this evening. We will return on Wednesday, the 16th of February from 8 p.m. CET for more live round of 16 action with full commentary of Inter versus Liverpool, as well as live updates from Austria of Salzburg versus Bayern. And don't forget to download our podcast shortly after every single match night via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.